Would you please join me for a reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, up until the pandemic, I was not fully aware I was from the "I must handle this myself" school of thought. I took pride in self-solving and having things turn out as I expect them to. In the instances where outcomes are unexpected, there was always a solution in sight. I was quick to think through solutions and fixes, magnifying my strengths and shutting down any forms of weaknesses. Then the pandemic happened. All the muscle memory I'd built over the years of "I must handle this myself" was out of the window. There were a lot of unknowns surrounding me, ranging from will my job be spared as the company I worked for focused on cost reductions? Will COVID remedies be available to my family and friends back in Kenya, given that most of the remedy focus was on the first world countries? My fear of not knowing what the future would hold led to a tumultuous battle with anxiety because such situations were out of my control. On the outside, to those around me, everything was calm and collected, but on the inside, I was bursting at the seams, and this was seeping to my relationships. For context, my wife Bernice and I had only been married for less than a year, and I could not bring myself to admit that, "No, Eric, you cannot handle this yourself." I started to gradually withdraw myself and went on a downward spiral of mentally thinking through what to do next, but not communicate exactly what I was thinking to anyone, including God. A combination of pride and falling under the misformed societal norm of the guy should always have situations under control led to me not wanting to show any weakness or admit that I needed help. Instead, I deflected questions by saying, "Think about it," or "I'll get back to you," when in reality, there was neither a clear solution in mind nor a path to one. As this constant battle of hiding my weakness brewed, it opened the avenue to unhealthy coping mechanisms. I was drinking more, avoiding sensitive topics, and essentially just shutting down mentally as I didn't want to think about it. The pride of not admitting I was weak and needing help turned to my work because I was distracted, thinking about what to do, my relationships with friends and family because I was distant, and led to some really tough conversations with Bernice as I was not open about my weaknesses. It felt like all I'd learned was in vain. I'd grown up in a Christian worldview, and my mom raising me with Christian values didn't quite make sense. She would say things from the scriptures like perfection made in weakness, joy in the storm, God's grace being sufficient. But this particular moment, I was more along the lines of, how can there be any perfection made in weakness? How can there be any joy in this storm of not knowing the future? God, is your grace this sufficient for me? How could anyone possibly believe such things when I was worried that I wouldn't be able to make ends meet? I wouldn't be able to find another job. My family members would suffer and I wouldn't be able to help them. What about you? How do you deal with the storms in your life? Perhaps it's turning to unhealthy coping mechanisms as a temporary fix. It may be shutting down completely, turning to escapes like alcohol, drugs, pornography, social media, excessive working, overeating, or not eating, you name it. On the other hand, some people think that if someone is a Christian, now that they have Jesus in their life, then there's not supposed to be any challenging situations and expect everything to be a smooth ride. So when tough times arise, people end up getting disillusioned because they're supposed to be smooth with God. As a result, they start blaming God and defaulting to being more self-sufficient. We find ourselves saying things like, God, I can't rely on you, so I must handle this situation myself. And that becomes a norm. Others turn to isolation out of fear of being mocked, judged, or ostracized for sharing about their struggles. As we learned last week, we live in a world that's been affected by sin, and thus we all will face storms in our lives. And the interesting thing is that whether someone considers themselves to be a follower of Jesus or not, this is a problem everyone faces. We're in a sermon series called Promises, Finding God's Hope in Hopeless Times, because we all need hope, especially when it comes to our storms. But the good news is that God has the answers that we all need, and it comes in the form of over 7,000 promises made by God to us, found in the Bible. Such promises can lift our weary soul and give us hope, clarity, perspective, and the courage to make it through whatever we are facing. The beauty of Scripture is that it helps us wrestle with approaches that may sound counterintuitive to what we may be used to, and in addition, has the answers to all our questions. Today, we are going to look at just what it is we can do when we face a storm in our life and the promise that God has waiting for us in the Bible. Paul, who was a follower of Jesus and the person that wrote majority of the New Testament, knew what it was like to hit a wall and not know what to do. He says, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. A couple of things are going on here. Paul shares about his problem, which is the thorn in his flesh, his path to solution, which is pleading with God in prayer, and God's response, which is, my grace is sufficient for you. The use of the term thorn in flesh is metaphorical, as Paul does not tell us exactly what he was dealing with, nor was it a literal thorn. However, this thorn was a chronic and debilitating problem. It may have been a physical, emotional, or spiritual hardship, which we know was a source of constant pain to him as it tormented him. We do, however, know that Satan was the one who brought this thorn to torment Paul, as Paul refers to it as a messenger of Satan. But God, being sovereign over everything, including Satan, allowed this thorn, which is the affliction in Paul's life, and used it to teach Paul humility and reliance. You see, Paul was given so much knowledge about the mysteries of God with visions and revelation, which could easily have led him to glorify himself or even allow others to glorify him. In addition, remember, Satan is threatened when people are close to God and know the mysteries of God, people like Paul. So Satan afflicts Paul, meant for evil, and God uses it to shape Paul, meant for good. Consequently, Paul prayed passionately 3 times to God to take this suffering from him. And instead of God removing the thorn from his life, he responded succinctly with the promise, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What is grace? Pastor Dave Guzik defines grace as God's undeserved favor and love towards us, which means that there is nothing we will ever do to earn it, given we live in a sinful world, yet God in his infinite love for us chooses to bless us rather than condemn us as our sin deserves. Unlike showing mercy, which is giving to someone what they deserve, showing grace means giving to someone what they do not deserve. This means that irrespective of where we may find ourselves today, irrespective of the thorns in our lives, we can find solace in God's favor and love towards us, which is given to us freely through Jesus. As God's grace is given to us, we can think of it as a gift, which leads to the following conclusions by Michael Hoodman, the founder and CEO of God Questions Ministries. God's grace being a gift means that nothing is owned in return. It is not a debt that we need to repay. It is given to us for free. God's grace is ours to keep and is forever. When we give gifts, we do not go back and ask for the gift in return. By definition, the act of giving a gift means that whoever gives the gift renounces any future intent of reclaiming it, and the recipient has permanent ownership of the gift. Similarly, as grace is a gift to us given by God, It means that it's ours to keep and we have it forever. The use of the word is gives us a timing of when this grace is available to us. That is, it lets us know that God's grace is available to us right now. Not that it will be or was available, but is available to us right here and now. We can access it at any moment and it does not stop. Sufficient means that God's grace is enough, irrespective of how big a problem it seems to be. It is limitless and knows no bounds. Once we acknowledge that we're insufficient on our own, we can then begin to allow God's grace to be sufficient for us. Who is all this grace for? It is for you. His grace is sufficient for you. His love is enough for you. His favor is adequate for you. And last but not least, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The power referred to here is God's great strength that rescues us when we have hit rock bottom and cannot dig out by our own effort or talents. It's relying on his strength for effectiveness rather than our own energy, efforts, or talents. Our weakness admits that we need God, and it is in that reliance that God's power develops godly character in us. It deepens our trust, our worship, because in admitting our weakness, we affirm God's strength. In addition, Paul is asking us to boast in our weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. The Oxford Dictionary defines boast as talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. Yet, Paul is asking us to boast in our weaknesses. How ironic is that? Please note that we are not being asked to glorify the negative things we've either done or seen happen to others, like going on social media and telling everyone that you just had another fight with your neighbor again, or going on rants telling the whole world why so-and-so is so dumb and so on. Instead, boasting in our weakness is acknowledging that we are insufficient without God. It is admitting that we will fall short of living up to the standard that God has set for us, which is holiness. It is owning up to the areas in our lives where we have become independent of God instead of being dependent on God. When we lie and say one thing but mean another, we deceive others and set unrealistic expectations. When we only live for ourselves, we become selfish and care less for those around us. When was the last time you acknowledged your shortcomings to either yourselves, to God, or to others? We all know how difficult, shameful, and in some cases even painful it can be to share about our struggles, temptations, and some of the harsh things that are going on in our lives. There's always the fear of being mocked, judged, and ostracized. And if that's not enough, we live in a social media world where we are constantly inundated. We post images and conversations that highlight flawlessness and weaknesses as swept under the rug. A world where most of the things that we're exposed to as a public are highlight reels of exorbitance and hashtags such as living my best life, hashtag success, hashtag made it, and so on become the order of the day. Yet in all this, Paul is asking us to go against the current societal norm and boast in our weakness to God by acknowledging that we're insufficient without God. It is by admitting our weakness that we affirm that we rely on God's strength rather than our own energy, effort, or talent. To add to this, Paul continues, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." Paul must have a sense of humor. Initially, he asks us to boast in our weakness, and now he layers in two other counterintuitive notions. One, finding delight in weakness, in insult, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. And two, weakness leading to strength. These are statements that are easier said than done. For Paul, he was able to find joy during these challenging situations as it made him completely dependent on God's grace and strength. By Paul acknowledging that in his own power, he was weak to do anything that God wanted, he was affirming his reliance on God's strength, which was exemplified in God's grace being sufficient for him. When we are sick, witnessing injustices being inflicted on others, going through a tough time in our relationships, our jobs, our finances, or any other challenging situation, it can really be daunting to not only find joy in this moment, but to even think of joy in general. How can we find joy or delight in tough situations? For example, we can be grateful for some of the blessings we normally take for granted when our energy and focus is consumed by a particular storm. Another beauty of scripture is that it contains the answers to all of our questions, even those that seem counterintuitive. See, admitting our weaknesses stings, but it's necessary in order to experience God's power in our lives. Because we can't hold on to God if we're still holding on to our know-it-all attitude. But we're going to learn that even in our weaknesses, there's hope. Paul actually says it in his letter to the Romans, saying, "Not only so, but we also find joy in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us." Trials and tribulations are part of our lives because we live in a sinful and broken world, whether or not we are followers of Christ. This is contrary to some people who think that as Christians, now that we have Jesus in our lives, we're not supposed to go through any challenging situations and expect everything to be a smooth ride. This scripture calls us to choose joy in our suffering, not because we enjoy agony or refute its effect on our lives, but because God is using these challenges to build our character so it looks more like His. Similar to the way an athlete puts in hours of training ahead of a major sporting event, enduring suffering becomes the catalyst that bolsters our character, deepens our trust in God, and gives us hope, which is defined as the confident expectation of what God has promised and its strength in His faithfulness. Pastor Dave Gazik refers to perseverance, character, and hope as the golden chain of Christian growth and maturity, in that one virtue builds upon another as we grow in the pattern of Jesus. Think of it as a chain reaction. From tribulation, we get perseverance or endurance, which helps us develop character and have more hope, which is demonstrated through God's love that is communicated through His Holy Spirit. For the believer, we can therefore know that our trials and tribulations are not wasted, as they help us get better and closer to God. So there is hope with our weaknesses and storms when we trust them in God's hand. However, for the unbeliever, without this hope in God, the trials and tribulations can lead to bitterness as one wonders why they're going through such things. What does all this mean for us? We learn that God's grace is sufficient. We are challenged to accept that we're insufficient so that God's grace can be sufficient for us. This is tough, especially given the world we live in, where every success is celebrated and weakness is brushed off to the side. However, we need to accept our inefficiencies and allow God to lead us instead. Weaknesses are invitations to submit to God all of our worries and concerns while taking the necessary steps to follow His ways. Only in surrender can we receive His grace and power. What does this look like for you? Where in your life should you let go and let God? Where do you need to acknowledge that you're insufficient on your own and need God's grace to be sufficient for you? Perhaps it's an area you're trying to control, or an addiction that you've been trying to shake off on your own without much success. Perhaps it's an area in your life where you've bent the truth so much that you're living a lie. The area can be your finances, relationships, whatever it may be. I encourage you to allow God to lead you by surrendering that area to Him. This can be done through breath prayer, which are short syllable prayers that we can use to express our needs to God throughout the day. For example, "Jesus, let me feel your love. God, I send this to you." Perhaps it's seeking counsel or stepping away from isolation and getting plugged into a healthy spiritual community where there's no shame for being open with your struggles. Whatever this path looks like for you, Know that His grace is sufficient for you today and will find you wherever you are. Christ is there in our hardships, struggles, and inefficiencies, and we are not alone. When life is on cruise control and everything is going according to plan, it's very easy for us to see Christ and trust Him in these moments. However, when you're going through challenging situations, the posture can easily change to, Christ, where are you in all of this? Why do I feel alone and neglected? Today, we have learned that God is right there with us, even in the midst of our hardships and struggles, when it can be tough for us to experience His presence. To know that God uses our trials and tribulations to build our endurance that helps develop character, deepens our trust in God, and gives us hope. Earlier on, I shared about a time in my life where anxiety was the order of the day. The reason I was in this position was because I'd learned to be a self-solver and graduated from the I must handle this myself school of thought. I was under the false impression from a cultural background that there was no room for emotional and mental weakness, especially for men. It took a lot of difficult conversations with Bernice for me to realize the depth of the wounds I'd cut in a relationship, as I did not communicate as much as I needed to because of my own insecurities. I was always in my head and was slowly pushing away those that I loved and cared for. Eventually, after multiple excuses, I accepted that I needed help and, using the resources God provided to me, signed up for therapy. As I unpacked the root causes that ranged from shame to the false impression that there's no room for emotional weakness, especially for Black males, it became clear that I had to let go and let God, as I was insufficient in my own power. And not just in the situation with my job and my family back in Kenya, but in life. This involved a continuous practice of acknowledging my shortcomings by being more open about my weaknesses and no longer feeling ashamed to say, I need help. This has been a continuous process which has led to a significant improvement in the communication I have with Bernice and those around me. Instead of feeling as if I need to have a solution for everything, I've learned to allow God to take His rightful place in my life by trusting in His grace being sufficient for me. And that when I'm weak, that's an opportunity for God to be strong in my life. This means I can take solace in His undeserved love and favor for me, which never runs out, is always available at no cost to me, and will forever be enough irrespective of which storm I'll be facing. So, where in your life do you need to acknowledge that you're insufficient and need God's grace to be sufficient for you? Who can you talk to get the help and encouragement that you need? Know that there are people here that can help you as you lean in on God more with whatever you're facing. Growing up, I had a Sunday school teacher would always end the lesson with, if you forget everything we covered today, remember this one thing. In similar fashion, if you find yourself in the same shoes, please remember this one promise from the Lord. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you are the God of mercy and grace. Thank you for sending Jesus, because without Him, we'd be lost and without hope. But with Him, we have all the hope in this world. Help us to know that your grace is sufficient for us, even when everything around us wants us to think otherwise. Enable us to acknowledge that we're insufficient, as your power is made perfect in weakness. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God, that you'd want one. You want to experience His love and hope. You want His mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that's what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins and transform you into the person that you are meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you please pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. It is then I pray, amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you grow in that relationship with God. Now, friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.